Would you turn with me to a book that's probably getting a little feathered in your Bible? Amen. Turn to the Gospel of John. And would you join me in that 14th chapter? Many of you have heard me preach from the John chapter 14 and heard me read from it. And you've heard me say that this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, chapter in the Bible. In John chapter 14, we are brought to a greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. So would you turn with me to John 14, beginning with verse 16. And as you do that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever wished that you could sit down with Jesus? Wouldn't that be something? Have you ever thought, man, I wish I could have been around in the day that the disciples were being called? Even if he didn't call me to be one of his disciples, wouldn't it be neat to sit down with Jesus and just hear the voice of God? Amen? Can I tell you something? Did you know that in a very real way, you can do that today? The scripture says that God, that the Lord Jesus himself sent for us one just like himself. We're going to talk about that today and what that means. And he gave us the Holy Spirit that we might be still and listen and be brought into the presence of God. Dear friends, you can sit down with the King. You can receive his calming presence. Amen. You can receive his strength and his comfort. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is found throughout the Bible? Not just in the New Testament, not just in the book of Acts, but throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is brought out in an understanding of who he is. It starts in Genesis chapter 1. In the very second verse, it says that the Holy Spirit broods over the waters to bring about an order to the chaos. In the very last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, the writer declares to us that the Spirit and the bride will say, "Come, Lord Jesus." I'm going to tell you that today we're probably going to be more in a Bible study than a sermon. But I hope and pray that this study of the Word of God will bless your heart to the point that you realize how much we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not born at Pentecost. Amen? Do you realize that the Holy Spirit was not born at all? The Holy Spirit has and is and was as God himself, as the Son of God, Christ Jesus, have always been. He has been in the work of the world since before the world even began. Since before creation. However, and this is the truth, you know, you say, well, I thought he just kind of showed up at Pentecost. No, dear folks, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit assumed a more prominent role because that was the design from God the Father to God the Son to God the Holy Spirit right here with us until the very end of this age. And that, friends, is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is here for us. He is here with us. Did you know that the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and it appears in the Old Testament. Somebody guess how many times it might be in the Old Testament. Anybody want to venture up to 100? Anybody want to double that? Anybody want to triple that? Yeah, 370 times the spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's called pneuma. In the New Testament. In the New Testament, the pneuma is mentioned 385 times, 244 times, very specific to the Holy Spirit that we're talking about this morning, the person of God, Holy Spirit. And four times, Christ Jesus himself called the Holy Spirit and taught about the Holy Spirit by calling him a different name, and he called him the Parakletos. That's going to be my best interpretation of how to say it. Now, some of you who are better Greek scholars than me can probably do a better job of pronouncing it, but four times Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Paraclete or the Parakletos. Four verses in John, Oh, and I was going to make you guess what book it was found in. Guess which chapter it's found in. And then the next one. And then the next one, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. Jesus mentions the Parakletos. And he says in John 14, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Parakletos." And then in verse 14 again later, he says, "But the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things." And then in verse chapter 15, he says, "When the Parakletos comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." And he goes on to explain a little more. And then in verse 16, he says, "Unless I go away, the Parakletos will not come to you." So four times in these three chapters, Jesus refers to a person, the Holy Spirit, called the Parakletos. Now, the word paraclete comes from two words. And we're going to read that scripture in just a moment, in that verse in its entirety. But the word paraclete or kletos comes from two different words. The word para, which we get our word parallel from, and it means alongside of. And kaleo, which means to call. So it means to call alongside. Literally, to have somebody be called to join you with a help. Now, it could be translated comforter. Jesus certainly calls him the comforter. It can be called the advocate. It can be called the helper or counselor. But actually, there are no English words that really bring about the richness of what this word means to us. You have to use a conglomerate of words to explain the parakletos to us. So today, we're going to focus on just one of these, what we call the paraclete sayings, and that's John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And we're going to look to this one little verse today to help us to answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? And why is he so important to us? I thought Jesus was our central figure, right? Yes. But isn't God our central figure? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We sang about the triune God today. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus told his disciples, as he's teaching them about him going away, and he says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, how many of your scriptures say helper there? Let me see your hands. You got it in there. How is it spelled? What's that first letter? And how is it written? With a capital H. There's a little hint for you, friends. "And he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you." Those little verses, so much for us to understand. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to catch all you've got for us in these brief verses, particularly, Lord, this one, that we might understand what this helper does, who this helper is, and how we relate to him. Help us, Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Would you be seated? I want you to notice this as we really focus on verse 16. First of all, the Holy Spirit, this Parakletos, is personal. He is a personal being. The Holy Spirit, dear friends, is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Do you understand that? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the personal presence of God at work in this world. Why is that so important for us to understand? We're going to come back to that. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an it. Hello? The Holy Spirit is not an it, but rather a he. The scripture says, he is not just a power, but he is a person. Electricity is a power, and electricity is an it, and electricity is something that we use and call on every day, but electricity is not a he. No power on this earth is a he. Except the Holy Spirit is power, but he's not an it. The Holy Spirit, dear friends, is a person. Because if it was an it, you could just command it. You know, let me ask you, how many of you have walked up to the switch lately and said, I command you, turn on? No, what do? You just reach over and do it. It's an understood thing. By flipping that switch, you're commanding that power to be turned on, for the light switch to turn on the light. That's not how we're to operate with the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. Jesus Christ used personal pronouns to refer to the Holy Spirit. He did not say, and it will be with you. What did he say? He, capital H-E, will be with you. Listen to this. Every reference to the Holy Spirit is both masculine and personal. There's a reason for this, and God wants us to understand it, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of God Himself. Personal. Now we also see every characteristic of personality in the Holy Spirit. It's not just an it, it is a he. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says the Holy Spirit discerns. So literally, that is his understanding in the realm of knowledge. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says the Holy Spirit grieves. His heart hurts, so we have the realm of emotion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, the Holy Spirit chooses, so we have the spiritual, we have the realm of the will. And then the Holy Spirit has all these personality characteristics. And then the Holy Spirit performs many actions that only a person, a he, could do, not an it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says the Holy Spirit searches hearts. You ever had a computer try to search your heart? You say, well, a computer can search. Does it search your heart? I know they've come a long way with AI, and it's a bit scary, but they still can't search your heart and won't ever. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says the Holy Spirit prays. Prays. John 14, 26, the Holy Spirit teaches. John 15, verse 26, the Holy Spirit witnesses. Friends, what I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. Now, the reason these aspects of the Holy Spirit are so very important to us is that they determine how we perceive and how we think and how we relate to the Holy Spirit. We never have to ask the power of electricity to do something for us. We command it. We turn it on. We flip a switch, and we expect it right then to happen. If we don't, we go, uh-oh, who forgot to pay the bill? So we understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is not one that we control. We don't go to the Holy Spirit and say, well, Holy Spirit, I expect you to do this. Holy Spirit, I expect you to do that. You know, off, on, off, on. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of us who do that, and we should not. Is that how we go to God with our prayer? God, I command you in Jesus' name, heal this person. Is that what we do? God, I expect you to take care of this. God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to deliver. In other words, we're saying, Holy Spirit, person of God, do this, do that. Off, on, off, on, off. I'm going to tell you, I believe that that really is a turn off to God. Because God says that we are to approach Him in reverence and humility, in love and in passion. But the Holy Spirit is not ours to command, but instead, the Holy Spirit is ours to be filled with and to give us the strength not to do our will, but God's will. Amen? When we see the Holy Spirit as a person, when we see the Holy Spirit as a He, then we see Him as a person with whom we can have a relationship with, not just a desire for them to do something. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, and the personal presence. Can I say this one more time to you? It is God's personal presence to you in this world. The next thing that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit works beside us, parallel, if you will, with God. Why? How? Because he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus said this when he talked to his disciples. He said, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, I'll pray. And that's what it means is I'll pray to the Father, and I'll ask, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. Now, he says, you're going to get another helper. Who was our first helper? Jesus. Jesus is the first helper. He came and helped us to see God through himself. He pointed to God in every way, and the disciples learned this. And now he says, I'm going away. And the disciples are going, no, I don't. What are we? He says, don't worry, I've got you some help. He's going to be there. We've talked about this over the last several weeks, that Jesus said, I'm going to send you one who's going to give you the help so that you can do not just the things I do, but what? Greater things. We've talked about that at length. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you another helper. Jesus is the first helper. He says, I'm going to send you another one. Now, the Greek words translated another helper are just two. There are two words that mean another. And the first one that means another, or an adding to, is allos. And you need to understand this, because allos means the same kind. Allos. And then there's another word that means different, and that word is heteros. You've heard these words. Allos means of the same kind. Heteros means of another kind. I could have two cans up here, and you wouldn't know unless you looked inside of them what was in there. But if I had one can of peas and one can of corn, you know what? They might be the same in the outside, but inside they're going to look different. They would be not allos, but they would be heteros. Two cans, but something different inside, right? I started to bring two cans. I forgot them. Well, that word that's used in today's text, what do you think it is? Allos or heteros? Allos. I'm sending you one of the same kind, the allos. Not different, but the same. In other words, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. If you'll give me a little leeway here to interpret it. He says, the Father will give you another helper, comforter, but he will be of the same quality and of the same kind of helper that I have been to you. He says, he's going to be everything you need that I have been for you. Now, what exactly does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit is the full manifestation of God, just as Jesus was and is the full manifestation of God, because he is the same. Also, it can be said that of God the Father, anything that can be said of God the Father can be said of the Holy Spirit. He is eternal. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is holy. He is life. He is truth. He is divine. All those things that you could say of God is fulfilled in the Holy Spirit as well. Whereas Jesus on earth would not claim that so he could be human. He did that on purpose. He chose to withdraw from that so that he could become the sacrifice for us. Now the Holy Spirit is going to be everything that Jesus was and more, because he had the full characteristics on earth of who God the Father is. Does that make sense? I can start back at the beginning. If it makes sense, then we begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is not just a part of God. It's not just a power used by God. It's not the Holy Spirit is not less than God or a substitute for God, but the Holy Spirit is God with us today. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples about the Holy Spirit, he was giving them a spiritual truth and truths so that they could walk with him and talk with him after he was gone. He was giving them these spiritual truths to help them on their daily walk. Because he says, I'm going to be leaving you, so I'm going to send you some help. First, he was saying this. He said, you can be confident in the Holy Spirit. You can be confident in the one that I'm sending to you. They could count on him as they did on Jesus. Just like Jesus was there for them, they could depend on him. The Holy Spirit is the same, he's saying. All that I've done for you in my physical presence here on this earth, he is going to do for you by his spiritual presence for you on this earth. You remember we talked about the physical things that Jesus did? And that all of the miracles that he performed on this earth were temporary. All of those physical miracles, every person he healed, every person that he raised from the dead, guess what? They eventually got sick or died again. Those he fed got hungry again. Those that he healed from blindness, they died. All these people, it was a temporary healing. But now, with the Holy Spirit, he said, this is going to be more permanent. He says, he's going to be here for your spiritual presence to perform those greater works that we've talked about. Now, the second thing is not only was were they going to be able to be confident in the Holy Spirit, but he's saying they would be comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been around somebody who was able to do a lot of stuff, but you just weren't comfortable with them? You know, you had to work with them, but you really didn't want to go home with them. You spent time with them and y'all got stuff accomplished, but they weren't the person you'd invite over for Friday night dinner. Listen, Jesus is saying, look, as you have grown comfortable with me, this helper is going to be with you and beside you. You can be comfortable with him. You know what Jesus was saying? He says, you're not going to be under new management. Same management, amen? Not a new boss. Same person, just different, but the same. He says, I'm leaving, but another, but the same, is coming to help you. When we deal with the Holy Spirit, it's the same as dealing with Jesus, because they are the same. The Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Jesus for the disciples, and for everybody since then, and for us today. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Lord. The next thing is, remember this, the Holy Spirit is forever. Forever. John chapter 14, verse 16. Listen, let me read it to you again. It says, and I will pray, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, capital H, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Forever. Now that Greek word here is the word that means until the end of the age. When is the end of the age? When Jesus comes back and takes us home. That's the end of this age. The Old Testament, in the Old Spirit, the Spirit in the Old Testament came and went temporarily. There were times that, you remember Samson? And it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he brought the house down. Then the Spirit left him. Of course, he died. But you and I understand that when the Holy Spirit comes to us today, it's not temporary. He stays with us till the end of the age. He never leaves us. He's with us. Jesus abided with the disciples. And they depended on his presence. They depended on him to accomplish God's purpose. But when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to them so that they would have that permanent abiding in their hearts of God himself. The Spirit of Jesus, the same as Jesus. Not just in the hearts of the disciples, but in every believer. Is that you? In every believer. Listen to me. Believers have the presence of God with us all the time. You know, if this thought truly comes home to us, if we truly think about this in its depth, we would understand that we would never again have to have another moment of fear in our life. You would never have to have a moment of fear in your life. Let me repeat that again. With the Holy Spirit, you would never have to have a moment of fear. You would never have to have another moment of loneliness. You'd never have to have another time of paralyzing anxiety. You would never again have to stand timid before a spiritual task that you said, I cannot do that, because the Holy Spirit would accomplish it in us and for us and take us through all those other things. We never again have to be inordinately concerned about what other people think in this world as long as we are following God. Why? Because we know that God is with us. He's for us. And the Bible's teaching of the Holy Spirit reminds us that God is with us. He's called how? To walk alongside us. Parakletos. Called to walk alongside. That's the Holy Spirit. Not just back then, dear people, but right here, right now. I love those commercials. Listen, the next time you hear a commercial that says, but wait, there's more. You ever heard those? How many times, right? Listen, the next time you hear that, I pray that God will remind you about His Holy Spirit. And they're going to go, but wait, there's more. Listen, wait, there's more. The Holy Spirit who is with us, the Holy Spirit that is in us, has a purpose to fulfill. He's not just with us, He's got a purpose. And what is that? It is to do the work in us and for us. He wasn't just called along to witness it and then report back to God. He was here to do it in a very real way, in a very unique way. You can now sit down with God and converse with God and fellowship with God in a very real way. You can talk to God. The Holy Spirit is your helper of the exact same kind as Jesus. God calls us to His life, and God calls us to His work. Amen. Doesn't God call us to work? Doesn't God call us to go out in the world? Doesn't He say, go you therefore, preaching and teaching and baptizing and making disciples? Doesn't He say that? But He doesn't, listen, He doesn't just send us out in His strength and say, go accomplish it. It's not how He does it. You know what He does? If we will receive Him, if we are believers, He Himself as our helper goes with us, giving us the strength to accomplish what we need as we go. God's Holy Spirit does that. He doesn't just say, get out there and do it in my name. He says, go, and I will be with you to accomplish this in His name. What a comfort, dear friend, to know that God doesn't expect us to do it alone. He expects you to do it with Him, for Him, and in Him. The Parakletos, the one who is called alongside of every believer of you. God says, I'm here. Will you use the strength? Will you use the power? Can I pray for you? Father, we are so thankful that we don't have to do this alone. And all God's people said, amen. God, thank you that we do not have to do this alone. Thank you that you are for us. Thank you that you are not just for us, but you are with us. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us or forsake us. We know you've given us a tremendous job, but God, you have given us their tremendous help to accomplish it. Thank you, Lord, for the precious, wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit. Help us, God, not to take you for granted, to just start commanding you like an on and off switch, but God, to have a personal relationship with you through the calling of our hearts to your Spirit, O Lord.